Burgers are best fresh from the grill. Well, more specifically, burgers with Hellmann's Real Mayonnaise. It's so rich and creamy that it instantly makes any burger irresistible. And what backyard barbecue is complete without some potato salad? Not just any potato salad, of course. Potato salad highlights the rich, creamy goodness of Hellmann's Real Mayonnaise. So if you want to take your barbecue season to the next level, stock up on Hellmann's Real Mayonnaise. For great recipe ideas, visit hellmanns.com.
Managing your diabetes just got easier. The powerful new Dexcom G7 lets you see your glucose numbers on your compatible watch and phone without finger sticks. And because Dexcom G7 is the most accurate CGM system, you can be confident in your food, exercise, and medication decisions. And all those decisions can lead to big results, like more time in range and lower A1C. Get started at Dexcom.com.
Dexcom data on file 2023. If your glucose alerts and readings from the G7 do not match symptoms or expectations, use a blood glucose meter to make diabetes treatment decisions. For a list of compatible devices, visit Dexcom.com/compatibility.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Welcome to another edition of the Around the League podcast. My name is Dan Hansis, and I'm joined by Greg Rosenthal and Mark Sessler, colleagues. You'll notice that we didn't call it the ATL Debate Club because, sadly, it is no more.
You called it another edition of the Around the League podcast, but technically this would be the first edition of the Around the League podcast, even though it's really not much different than the ATL Debate Club.
Well, why don't you explain why we've even gone down this road?
No, this was a decision that was made where you have a brand new schedule for the show, which is actually really exciting. Greg, you want to lay it out as the fearless leader of ATL?
Yeah, we're going to do 3 days a week here. We're going to be talking news, not just one day a week tacked on to Damashek like some little, you know, ugly stepsister. We're going to have our own iTunes, you know, to subscribe to. That's going to be up hopefully by the time you hear this, definitely soon. Monday, Wednesday, Friday in training camp, starting with this show. So we'll be back on Friday. It will be a rotating cast with the three of us. Chris Wesseling, who's on vacation right now, will also be joining in. Very often, and hopefully we can get it even more than 3 days a week once we get to the season. So if you guys listen and subscribe and tell the people, then maybe we can do it 5 days a week.
This kind of feels like to me in Wayne's World when Noah's Arcade came on board and it made, you know, changed it to a more corporate type of show. I don't know, Mark, what do you feel about this?
Well, the only thing I would have some issue with is the calling us the redheaded stepchild.
It was actually, it was ugly stepsister was Greg's word.
Because we worked with, you know, a string of, you know, high level corporate types to approve the name Debate Club.
There was no debate.
Well,
there was some debate. I think there was one show when we debated.
I think because Dan and I are, you know, our friendship as co-hosts grew to the point where I couldn't disagree with anything he said.
It reminds me too much of Skip Bayless, so no more. Plus, it reminds me of Bean. I was actually in a debate club when I was...
I can't believe you're mentioning this again. You got to bury this.
Yeah, I got to forget about it. But I'm excited. Around the League podcast. I mean, you guys did a great job building up the debate club. You've built up a big group of loyal listeners, so hopefully you guys all come with us.
Mostly in Australia and outside America.
Very few Americans.
Yeah. Well, let's be honest, not that big, but hopefully hopefully they come with us and we grow this thing.
Yes, it's very exciting, and we're going to be on iTunes, and that's a big deal too. Mm-hmm. So all the people that have been tweeting us asking how to find the show, it's about to get a lot more accessible, so that's good.
When I moved out here, I think it was they just heard this sort of whiny voice with a lisp, and they said, we got to get that on more often. You know what I mean? A little effeminate. Like, let's jump on that.
They tastemakers. They know what people
want.
We are
a trio that knows how to sell ourselves.
Yes.
That is for sure.
So we should talk about some NFL now that the housekeeping is done. What is the big story today has to be Bill Belichick, right?
what an image that was on NFL Network today when Belichick was talking about Aaron Hernandez, and you don't really see him in this mode, I think, being a little vulnerable, being a little apologetic, being more open. Granted, he was reading from a statement, and he's talking about Aaron Hernandez and what happened, and then all of a sudden there's a split screen on the show, and Aaron Hernandez is walking into the courtroom, and he's being tried for murder, and it was kind of a procedural day in the courtroom. And there's Belichick on one side. We're listening to him. There's Hernandez on the other. And, you know, as a Patriots fan, I mean, you could have never seen this coming. And it was just one of those moments in the NFL. We cover the business that I know I'll remember. I'll remember that 5 years from now, 10 years from now.
And I think, like, with Belichick especially, he's so, you know, celebrated as this guy, this stoic guy that is a few words and would take the most emotional situation and boil it down to nuts and bolts and leave everyone searching for a quote to put into a story. But he really showed his humanity today. And, you know, I think when I remember back to, like, the Football Life special on him, you did see behind the veil a little bit how he really cares about his players. And there's relationships there. Like, I'm thinking of when Randy Moss sat in his office trying to convince him to have a Halloween party. There's this other side to Belichick. That came through today. It was pretty rare to see that in a press conference.
Yeah, I kind of thought heading into today that he would be dismissive of it, maybe address it with one line and then give a lot of non-answers. But as he started talking, you began to realize that he actually had to address this head on. And he did it. It was a prepared statement. And then he went much more the Bill Belichick we know when they opened it up to questions. Every question he answered saying he can't get into it or he was told not to get into it. But on balance, I thought, you know, he gave people some insight to where what he was thinking, and you don't get that usually from Belichick.
But even then, when they asked kind of a question that wasn't specifically about Hernandez, he did talk. And one thing that stuck with me when he was just saying that, look, this is real life. You know, this isn't about football. I can't think of anything that would be more, you know, serious than this. And you saw a guy that is so in his football cocoon that he did seem a little shaken out of that. He understood the gravity of the situation, and Dan hit the nail on the head with, I think the expectation was he wasn't going to say anything. So maybe we're just so trained by him not saying anything that this was a surprise, but
right.
But he did a good job with that.
Well, yeah, and Deadspin had a pretty good post today where they collected all the sports writers that tweeted breathlessly about what a beautiful job by Belichick. Well, it really wasn't a beautiful job. He did what any other coach would do, but we're just so used to Belichick not really treating the press all that well that this seemed like some type of revelation.
But he's also Belichick. So I don't know if Pat Shurmur is going out there and talking like this. When Belichick wants to be smart and funny and incisive, he can be. He's sometimes like that about football, this time about something else.
Well, do you think they're going to they'll go out of their way to never address this situation again publicly if they can?
Yeah, they're having the captain speak. And after that, I think they're going to have the captains address it in some way. And then after that, they're just going to turn the page. I mean, he already basically said, I've been advised to just talk about it once. And right. You're not going to get this Belichick again next time.
Right. And I think Brady and the rest of the captains are going to be pretty tight-lipped about it. There will be no statement from Brady or anything like that.
Well, we did see Brady talk to Peter King about it, basically. And right. He was so typical Brady, I thought, in such a constructed quote where he didn't even use Hernandez's name. He basically talked about, listen, I am here for my teammates, the guys that are here, you know, focused on winning football games, and we're only focused on that. That I thought was even much more robotic than Belichick's response. It was behind closed doors, though. But
so the other big news today, Von Miller, who we learned was facing a 4-game suspension, he spoke to the media today. Mark, what do you see? What's going on right now with Miller in your mind?
Well, I think that's another situation where he chose to really not avoid the he couldn't talk about the topic with any sort of detail. There's an appeal coming up, and I thought I was a bit surprised on his response. Someone said, do you feel like you've let your teammates down? And he said, no, I don't. And you know, I guess we have to see how this shakes out, but I mean, that defense will not be the same on any level if this carries through and he has this 4-game ban.
I thought it was interesting when we first learned of it, and that was Monday, I guess, that the NFLPA came out quickly with a statement kind of backing Miller and saying that, you know, basically saying some things are not right about this situation. So I expect a, you know, a pretty big fight to protect this guy from a four-game suspension.
And our guy Ian Rappaport reported the appeal is expected in mid-August, so we should know before the season whether he's going to be suspended. And, you know, Josh Gordon is an example this year of a guy we didn't know he was appealing, but essentially he got his suspension reduced. So it might not be four games. I'd be surprised if it was nothing, but we, you know, there's a lot we don't know about the situation.
And the funny thing about the Broncos is they, you know, there were, it was almost like when a pitcher is throwing a perfect game and then someone in the dugout speaks to him. People were so high on them when they signed Welker, and there were stories about how the Broncos were on an unprecedented winning streak. And then almost immediately from that point forward, things started going bad, and this is now the latest and really greatest setback for them that they have to put up with if they're going to get back to the playoffs.
I mean, I do think it's such a long season that some of these, you know, remember when Big Ben got knocked out for four games for his penalization? It was like, listen, the Steelers are going to suffer. They come out of that 3-1, I think it was, and yeah, they wound up fine. They end up going to the Super Bowl that season.
You're right. It might be the difference between the one seed and the two seed or something like that, or it might be nothing. But Dan, I think, is right that, look, they should have had Elvis Dumervil and Von Miller, and now they're going to have Sean Phillips and Robert Ayers.
Right.
And the Dumervil thing is kind of lost because the DUIs are such a serious thing, and they both got suspended in the front office, and this Von Miller thing is an off the field. But the Dumervil thing was the biggest mistake of the offseason, and the Broncos really didn't take enough heat for that. It was all blamed on the agent, but it's the Broncos' fault just as much. I mean, they couldn't have screwed that up more.
Well, do you think it affects, you say that it's the difference between a 1 and 2 seed. Do you still see them as a 1 or 2 seed team?
I think that's the easiest division in football, so I'd be stunned if they didn't win it. So I think they have the best chance to get a bye of anyone in the AFC. I really do. Whether it's the 1 or the 2 seed, I'd give them a better chance than anyone.
Okay, so for the past 3 weeks, we've been going division by division. Big questions for each team heading into training camp. We have now reached the final two divisions, the NFC East and the NFC North. So let's start in the East. Greg Rosenthal, what do you see for the Dallas Cowboys?
Well, the thing I'm looking at is if this defense is going to come to... We've been talking about this defense being a potential disaster the whole offseason. Since the day they got rid of Rob Ryan... and they hired Monty Kiffin, and there's a bunch of changes. And I talked about it was ridiculous to bring Jay Ratliff back at that money. What happens? He gets hurt on a conditioning test. A lot of people talked about Anthony Spencer. Should you really pay that guy as much money to be a franchise tag player? He gets hurt on the conditioning test. They lose their top backup at defensive end for the entire season to a torn Achilles. That's about as bad a first couple of days of training camp as you're going
to
have.
Is Monty Kiffin at age like 104 questioning his decision to join this effort?
Well, it's better than USC.
That's right. A fair point.
All right. Greg, you're off the podcast. You're out.
I mean, you have to be happy Monty Kiffin
is gone.
I'm happy
he's gone, but you can't imply that there's a job out there that's better than USC on this podcast. I'm not going to allow it. I'm sorry.
Well, Wilk, as you might be able to tell, went to some California college. He's leaving us anyway soon, from what I understand. So, Alex, just
Spoiler alert. Keep it.
Yeah, you know, let's keep it to the NFL. I don't care about USC. All right, buddy.
Well, I don't care about Monty Kiffin.
And so. I don't know if Monty Kiffin cares about football anymore. I mean, I'm kidding, but let's face it. You want coaches on the way up. You don't want coaches at the end of their career. Was he that good at the end of his run in Tampa? Not really.
It was a very beguiling hire. After Jerry Jones said, you know, we're going to reboot the machine here. We're going to bring energy. And I understand Kiffin's, you know, resume is impressive, dating back some time. But it was not, yeah, it was not an energizing move for the Cowboys. And I almost wonder, like, between Rob Ryan, who's taking over what was the worst defense last season in terms of what yardage allowed, and you look at the Cowboys situation, which one of these coordinators comes out on top this season? The Cowboys have more talent, but there's issues there.
And I just said to Wilk that I didn't care about his college, but now I'm going to ask you, Wilk, as a USC fan, were you devastated, or was the fan base devastated that Kiffin left the team?
No, we were all ecstatic that he left the team.
Exactly.
It was the best thing that happened to us all offseason.
So that seemed, it just seemed like a bit of an odd hire, and now he's tasked with resurrecting this defense, which wasn't really that bad last year. It was more injury-riddled. I mean, Rob Ryan even said when he was defending himself after being fired that he thought he did about as good as you can do considering the issues he was up against.
My other big takeaway here is I'm not sure Mark knows the meaning of the word beguiling.
Beguiling?
Just throwing that out there.
No, I do.
I absolutely do.
Well, that will be next week's podcast. We're going to break down beguiling's exact definition. The Washington Redskins, obviously, big story is RG3.
Has to be. What else is there? I mean, that's what. There's 1,000 yards between that and storyline number two.
What is storyline number two? Alfred Morris, you know, learning how to horseback ride. I mean, what does is there anything really that we're RG3 is the big story. Today he came out. He said that he's probably not going to play in the preseason. I mean, he didn't come out and say it definitively, but he's not going to play in the preseason. But it all seems like everything's heading toward week one for him.
Yeah. I mean, don't you think that they've eyed week one to be... Why throw him out there into a preseason game? What's the benefit of doing that?
Yeah, there is none. And you never know. He's not going to be in team drills right away, but it seems like they're taking that Adrian Peterson, you know, mold from last year. They'll be safe for a couple weeks and he'll be out there and he'll be fine. I really don't know what number two is. They need a tight end. They have about four tight ends that could all start. Their wide receivers are a little jumbled, but I like the Redskins this year.
Yeah, I mean, the other thing with RG3 is they pushed it in the playoffs in January and he blew out his knee. It's totally makes sense that they would now be a little extra cautious if only to protect, you know, their butts on this. But you know, and as I said that, I saw, Greg, you have the definition of beguiling up on your computer?
I did, and then I switched it. But, yeah, it means to influence by trickery, flattery, mislead.
I think beguiling, I always felt, meant like you are confounding, you're confusing people with something. So tricking to some degree.
Yeah, not too bad. Not too bad. I'll give Mark the point.
I like
on
how
this
we're
one.
Going dictionary.com on this podcast.
We should try. Will, can we try to get dictionary.com as a sponsor and we could work this into every podcast when one of us misuses a word?
Except that I did not misuse it.
I'm going to go ahead and say no.
Yeah. Good point. Good job. No on that one. Wilk's right. Final move on this podcast.
Okay, the Giants. What do we got?
Jason Pierre-Paul's health. This isn't a really intriguing camp, but he's one of the most important defensive players, I think, for his team in the league, and we have no idea if he's going to be back for week one at all. We really don't know after his surgery when he's going to be back on the field.
Now, there was a guy on Giants.com today, I think, that said that, you know, he's inside the building, that they feel strongly that it will be week one, but there's no surety, and that on the other side, Tuck, he his shoulder injury essentially has never gone away, and he says that player specifically is not going into the season healthy himself with a shoulder issue. So
it's a weird team. Mark Herzlick right now is their starting middle linebacker. They're counting on Corey Webster to really bounce back in the secondary. There's a lot of questions on that. It used to be this team was defined by its pass rush, and there's probably more questions about the defensive line than anywhere else on that team.
Don't you feel, though, it's something about the New York Giants under Coughlin, they have a way of kind of patching holes up and bringing, you know, an average position groups together, and then they peak at the right time. Like every fourth or fifth season, they seem to blow up.
Yeah, which means this is an off year for them.
Yeah, so we've got a couple more years to wait.
They're also a hard team to figure out because they're coming off one of the weirder seasons in recent memory where they were dominating some of the best teams in the league and then getting wiped out by teams that were at their level and below, somehow missed the playoffs. It's really hard to tell if they're now going to, you know, 2 years ago, Super Bowl. Now, is this a bounce back year for them, or are they now going to, you know, be a 500 team? Are they, like, where are the Giants at right now? They're a hard team to figure out.
I think
out.
The thing about, too, the struggle is, like, that's a team that has to deal with the Redskins and their offense twice, and then they have no idea what they're going to deal with the Eagles. That's four games right there where you're not facing orthodox, like, offensive attacks. And I thought that the Redskins did a nice job against the Eagles last season, or against the Giants. And I don't know, it's a big wild card, that defense.
And since you brought up the Eagles, they're another team where it's going to be a QB battle, something that's head and shoulders above any other plot line there.
To me, Vic and Foles is going to be talked about a lot. Obviously, we've already done it, but this is the number one story in training camp to me. I mean, a football story, because it's two players that are pretty good. It's not Blaine Gabbert and Chad Henne, you know, competing to see who goes 3-13. It's Michael Vick and Nick Foles competing to see who starts on a team I think can make the playoffs. This is not a great division. I like the Redskins. I don't love any of these teams. I think any one of them could win the division. And you throw in Chip Kelly. If I could sit and watch one training camp and just go there and stay, they would be Philadelphia.
I mean, is there any concern, though, with Chip Kelly in terms of this? there's no defined starter right up, not just in the quarterback position, but with all these positions. I understand the competition side, but NFL players in general for decades have been doing things a certain way, and it's cool that he can mix it up and do his Oregon approach, but you know, you got, or you've already seen some dissension there and some irritation on the part of Vic and DeSean Jackson. Is it just those malcontents, or is the entire roster going to be a little up in space if there's no defined starter?
I know, that's a mean word.
What have they done?
I think that Vic is, I think that Vic could go, he could turn evil on this team if he doesn't get his way. You've seen hints of that.
Right. I actually, and when we were talking downstairs, that's something to me to watch. If you're somebody that likes drama and when things start to get a little dirty and nasty, Michael Vick does not get this job. Yeah, we get in the hands of zone. Vick doesn't get the job, and he starts mouthing off to the media and puts Chip Kelly in a bad spot. It could get kind of fun in Philly.
It will always be sort of misdirected shots from Vic. That's sort of his, you know, MO. He's not going to take it on head on, but he'll kind of like let something sneak out a little bit that he's not happy. But I honestly don't think that's going to be a problem. I think he's matured. He said that he'll accept a backup job if that's what happens. And that's not a problem to me. To me, it's a problem, though, if he's not the best quarterback on the team.
And since we're talking about Vic, I have to bring up one of my favorite quotes, early favorite right now, for best quote of training camp. He added 4 pounds of, in his words, pure muscle in the offseason. And his quote, it was a classic Barry Horowitz pat yourself on the back move. quote, 4 pounds, 4 pounds of pure muscle, he said. So it's a credit to myself.
Michael Vick loves himself some Michael Vick. I like that. I like that about him.
Okay, so that's the NFC East. Before we go on, we should address the cheetah situation in the NFL, right?
We have to.
I mean, I feel like it's the elephant in the room.
It is. So apparently Chris Johnson, there's a...
Everyone's just wondering, why haven't they brought up the cheetah
right,
yet?
Just to dial through, cut to minute 12.
Chris Johnson and Devin Hester, apparently, there's a channel. Well, let's start from the top. There's a channel that exists called Nat Geo Wild that... has a week called Big Cat Week, which I'm not sure if Discovery Channel can sue them for obviously trying to co-opt Shark Week. But as a part of this, Chris Johnson and Devin Hester traveled somewhere and raced a cheetah. And, you know, that seems like one of the most dangerous, reckless things a human could ever do, right?
And one of the easiest, you know, races a cheetah's ever had. Is that really a competition?
Well, Cheetah probably doesn't even know what's going on.
Well,
he's just
Cheetah
going
clearly
about his
doesn't know.
First of all, can we get someone else other than Hester at this point in his career?
That's a fair comment.
Let's throw T.Y. Hilton or something.
I mean, how many people? Even I believe, because I saw a still shot from the show, even though it's not airing till November. But apparently, there was a wall between them, so there could be no jugular rips, which is excellent news. But I did some research as a Around the League writer as I wrote the post, and as it turns out, a cheetah can go 0 to 60 in 3 seconds. So, like, what are we doing here?
Well, as Greg says, a non-race.
Couldn't we find a dog or something that would have been a closer race? I don't understand why a cheetah against a human was deemed something we need to organize an hour of cable television over.
I wish Dan did this much research on football posts. I mean, he is like our cheetah beat writer. He came in today and, you know, Sessler was going to do the cheetah follow-up because clearly the people demanded more cheetah. Mm-hmm. And Dan came in there and he basically just took the tape from Mark's desk and claimed the cheetah post
for himself.
Yeah, well,
it's clearly a post that's going to blow up on our site, and Dan just took that, that gold brick right off my desk.
I like it's being presented that way, but I could
be
the bad guy.
Well, that's pretty accurate. Yeah.
I'll take all the metrics gold and be the bad guy. That's fine with me. All right, let's move on. Let's move back to football. The NFC North, the final division in our breakdown, the Green Bay Packers.
I think the running back battle there is something to watch. You know, they've survived for the last few years without any running game, and now they have a chance to have a really good running game. I mean, Jonathan Franklin was one of my favorite guys in the draft. I mean, he fell to the fourth round. Eddie Lacy, Dwan Harris. They have a lot of options. I don't think it's going to be a bad running game this year.
I'm excited to see a more balanced attack from Green Bay because I understand you've got the greatest quarterback on the planet and you can throw the ball 100 times to everyone, but It's like something stopped them each season, and I think that we saw them get physically pounded by the Niners in that playoff game. And McCarthy said all offseason, we are going to be a tougher team on defense, and we're going to be a tougher team on offense. And it's like if they can do that, I'd see that the, you know, these one-and-done playoff shows are going to end for them. They have a chance to go all the way to the Super Bowl this year.
I'm most excited about Aaron Rodgers sitting in front of his laptop trying to figure out how to craft the perfect tweet to come back from this Ryan Braun disaster.
He's waiting. Oh. He's taking his time.
Aaron Rodgers is a guy who takes slights from the media pretty seriously, and he yes. carries it with him. So, this is a case with Ryan Braun where he's taken some shots, Rodgers has, in the last few days since the news came out, and I think he's just going to be so salty when he steps up to the podium.
And for those who didn't follow this, last year, Ryan Braun, who was a MVP for the Milwaukee Brewers in baseball, he got popped for steroids. He appealed it and won on appeal. This was last year. And then Rodgers.
People know the Ryan Braun story.
Well, some people don't know it. You know, some maybe are Australian
American
listeners.
American baseball, that's true.
But anyway, so Rodgers comes out. He's a little bit arrogant in his responses on Twitter, let's face it, saying, you know, exonerated, eat crow MLB. And now it blew up in his face because not only was Braun suspended for the rest of the year on Monday, he also admitted that he was using.
On the flip side, Dan is often attacked on Twitter, and I'll go out of my way to defend him. And you're not always dealing with facts. It's just you're looking out for your friend.
You're presenting me as Ryan Braun and you as Aaron Rodgers, I'm
the
sure.
The parallel to some degree. I mean, but it's, you know, is he sticking up for his friend? Did he know back then what the real deal was?
It's a legit issue because they own a restaurant together.
It's awkward.
Which right. is like the MVP guy's restaurant. Which
That's the reality show we need to see.
Right. Probably not going to do too well in the future, the Ryan Braun restaurant in Milwaukee.
No.
Doors closing.
Minnesota Vikings.
And that was like the McLaughlin group or something. Nick Langton.
Minnesota Vikings, go!
I know that I talked about bringing up the new group of wide receivers, but I have to say, when my mind with the Vikings immediately goes to the quarterback situation, I want to see how you've got, you know, two guys here, Christian Ponder and Matt Castle. It's like, I want to see how they do with their workload as the games go on.
I think that's a regular season thing, whether if Ponder plays well, it'll be fine. If not, we'll hear about this more in week 5. I mean, I'm looking to see how they use Cordero Patterson, whether he could be a starter right away or he could be buried on the depth chart like fourth and he just has 15, 20 snaps a game. Nothing would really surprise me with him.
I'm actually more interested, are the Vikings going to hold on to the 12th overall pick in Nick May's draft? Or are they going to try to trade up to get the quarterback? You know,
wow.
What are they going to do?
Well, I think if they end up with that pick and you're predicting some doom for them there, it's like, absolutely, they're not going to stick with Ponder after this season.
I think this is a last place team. I'm with Dan. Maybe like the number 7 pick. This is a tough division. This is my least favorite team in the division.
You see the Detroit Lions beating out Minnesota this season.
I think Detroit is a potential playoff team. We haven't made our predictions or anything, but I'm thinking about them as a wild card. Yeah.
You know, yeah. Peterson had one of the greatest years ever, but I can't remember too many weaker 10-6 teams than the Vikings were last year. Just they don't do much for me, and I think Peterson will regress as, you know, he almost has to, and I don't see the quarterback play getting better. And they lost their best player besides Peterson and Harvin.
It's hard to win in 2013 with Christian Ponder or whatever their passing game is going to be.
All right, the Chicago Bears. Greg, start it off.
Let's just see.
as Wilk fist pumps behind the glass.
You know, Cutler spoke today. His coach and GM both spoke today, and the GM said there's no contract for Cutler this year. There's no contract for anyone. It's going to be fascinating. I'm really excited to watch this team. I want to watch them week one because I really don't know what I'm going to get with Mark Trestman. There's not a lot up for grabs, I don't think, on this team in camp, but I just have no idea what Trestman and Cutler are going to be like together. It could be either great or it could be terrible.
Well, I think it's funny because when we got the information about Cutler not going to be, you know, getting a new deal before this whole thing begins, it's interesting because I think Trestman is going to do wonders with Cutler. He's done that with almost every quarterback he's had. But then that puts the Bears in a situation where, you know, if Cutler has a marvelous year, they would have been much smarter to get that contract done right now when his, you know, the shine's a little off on the guy.
It's the right move by the Bears. It's the same situation that my Jets were in last year, only they made the wrong move where Tannenbaum gave Mark Sanchez a new contract when he didn't have to do the contract. Could have said, just play it out. Let's see if you earn it. Cutler has been so up and down, really his whole career, but, you know, especially with the Bears, that I think it's a situation where his career is at the point where, yes, you're definitely our starter, we believe in you, but it's kind of put up or shut up time whether or not you are the long-term answer.
Ian reported some stuff today, basically that, look, if Jay Cutler plays really well, it's going to get really expensive for the Bears. But they don't care. I mean, if you think the Ravens minded paying Joe Flacco, they don't mind. So, you know, I think, once again, Dan's overrating Sanchez and somehow comparing him to Jay Cutler. Cutler's a far better quarterback.
Who has more playoff wins?
Oh, stop. Okay. I think Cutler's going to be a Bear long term. I'd be really surprised if it went that south, just because good quarterbacks are hard to find. I still think he's good.
Well, and we learned this offseason. You saw a string of quarterback contracts come through. Did any of them really seem too outrageous for the guys who are getting paid and what they mean to their teams?
Things would have to go really south on the field and maybe between them personally. I feel like Trestman and Cutler just not being a match for him not to be there long term.
And then finally, you mentioned, Mark, the Lions, and obviously you're not very high on them. What do you see coming out of their camp?
I don't think that I'm not very high on them. I just see in that division that they don't look like the most complete team to me. I know that the guy that we've focused on a lot this offseason is Reggie Bush, and how will his production fit into that team?
I'm sorry, I can't hear you. All I hear is like pistons pumping and laser beam sounds. It's the Reggie Bush hype machine rolling at a prodigious, powerful level. And it's just, again, you know, if you listen to all the reports about Bush, and this has been happening his whole career, but especially now that he's in a good offense with a great, maybe a great quarterback, you would think that he's going to have 150 catches and 2,000 yards rushing. Let's just let it play out. But the idea that Reggie Bush is now going to finally become this statistical monster, I'm just sick of hearing it personally.
I mean, the lasers can get annoying from the hype machine. I'm with you. And this happened when Bush landed in Miami. And I think he lived up to reasonable expectations of what you could have thought from Miami. But he's just a guy. I mean, is he any better than your average second-round pick coming out of the NFL draft? Probably not. I mean, he's not quite a good starter, but he's not a bad starter.
Well, it might have something to do with another hype machine, the USC Trojans.
Oof.
Am I? Is that fair?
Congratulations, I mean, Dan Hansis. You got your own podcast. It's just you now. You and me.
All right, buddy. Until you leave me and I'm all alone. So that's it. That is our divisional breakdown.
Yeah, I got to go. I got to run to the airport and see my daughter for the first time in a couple weeks. I'm excited.
Wow.
We'll enjoy it.
It sounds like a Lifetime special or something. All right, so we'll be back.
No one would watch that.
Yeah, we'll be back on Friday, right?
We will be back on Friday with another Around the League podcast.
All right, and maybe we'll be on iTunes. So just keep an eye out. We'll keep you updated. Thanks for listening.
Thank you.
You go into your shower feeling tired, but as soon as you reach for the Irish Spring, your day immediately gets better. That crisp, fresh, unmistakable Irish Spring scent zings your brain and awakens your senses. So when you finally emerge from the shower 37 minutes later, because you pay the water bill so you can stay in there as long as you want, you're ready to take on the day and smell great doing it. Irish Spring body wash and bar soap. Fresh, green, Irish. Shop now at a store near you. Burgers are best fresh from the grill. Well, more specifically, burgers with Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. It's so rich and creamy that it instantly makes any burger irresistible. And what backyard barbecue is complete without some potato salad? Not just any potato salad, of course. Potato salad highlights the rich, creamy goodness of Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. So if you want to take your barbecue season to the next level, stock up on Hellman's Real Mayonnaise. For great recipe ideas, visit Hellman's.com.
Open a limited-time 11-month certificate at Kemba Financial Credit Union. At 5.25% APY, it's more than triple the national average, plus it's a safe and secure way to grow your money. Visit your local branch or kemba.org/cd for details. Offer expires May 31st, 2024. APY equals annual percentage yield. Restrictions apply. $500 minimum and $250,000 maximum deposit. Advantage status required. Comparison based on bank rate average. Federally insured by NCUA.